Hi, I'm Brittany French.
Hey, I'm Rob McDonald.
And this is the Great Plains Outdoors Podcast.
We're going to talk about everything from fishing and hunting to hiking, paddling, and adventures on the Great Plains. We'll cover it all here.
So join us each episode and hear what's going on in the great outdoors on the Great Plains. Hey, y'all. Welcome back to another episode of the Great Plains Outdoors Podcast. We are slowly creeping into the springtime season. We're having some intermittent heat waves, as we call them here in Kansas. And I know I'm excited about that. I'm excited for turkey season. And I'm also excited for the spring target shooting season. Rob, what are you most looking forward to?
Hey, Brittany. You know, spring is this fantastic, really special time of year on the Great Plains. And I'm looking forward to turkey season this spring for sure. And also all the spring fishing. You know, it can be hard sometimes to time it right. But the spring walleye run, when they start spawning, and then you got the white bass run up in those creeks if the water's right. And when the crappie go on to spawn, it's just fantastic. So, but you know, you mentioned spring shooting sports season this spring, and I've not been involved with that too much, but I'm really excited to learn more.
This might be the one thing, Rob, that you are not like enthusiastically head over heels involved in.
Right.
Especially with your two boys. I mean, usually you're like, yeah, we're doing this, that, and the other. So that makes me excited because I'm fairly new to coaching shooting sports. I grew up in shooting sports worlds, but very excited to introduce our guest today because that is certainly in his wheelhouse. John Huberner is our guest today, and John is the fundraising manager for the USA Clay Target League. John went to college at Southwestern Oklahoma State University. He's been married for 29 years to his wife and has three boys. He is the head coach of Lakeville South Clay Target Team in Minnesota for the last 10 years, and he's an active board member for multiple nonprofits and a treasurer of two. John is very passionate about shooting sports, fishing, water sports, and the outdoor activities. For the last 30 years, he worked for Walmart in operations, and he retired only to get back to work as the USA Clay Target League in sales and fundraising. John, welcome to the show. Let's just jump into it and share all this good stuff with Rob and also our listeners. Thanks for being here.
Well, thanks for having me, Brittany and Rob. Like Brittany said, my name is John Huberner. I work for the USA Clay Target League. I am also a coach, and just one correction. I'm no longer the head coach of the Lakeville South team. I retired from that duty this year, but I'm still involved with the team. I've been involved with the team for 10 years now, and it is amazing. Just one high school team, we have had over 1,000 kids run through our program in the last 10 years. So it's been an absolute outstanding pleasure to be a positive part of the development of young people as they grow into adulthood. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, that is incredible. Over 1,000 kids in 10 years. I mean, wow.
Yeah, and that is just one part of the league. I'm sure that you know, and we're going to cover our impact report, but we finished 2022 with 44,900 registered students across the country, which for us is just absolutely outstanding. It's another record-breaking year.
Incredible. Well, let's jump in on that. So that many kids shooting across the U.S. in the USA Clay Target League. Tell us more about the history before we get too far into numbers. I love your guys' history. You've shared it with me, but let's share it with our listeners too.
Absolutely. Well, in 2008, the league started, and it started in just outside of Minneapolis. And the league was started because the Jim Sable, who started the league, went to his local gun club and realized that at the age of 63, he was the youngest member at the gun club. And he started talking to the other gun club members and saying, hey, wait a minute, we need to bring some young people in or this isn't going to be viable long term.
Yeah, sure.
So what Jim decided to do is start the Minnesota High School Clay Target League. And they started with 30 kids and three schools. And fast forward from that point, the league had to change its name in 2013 because we went from 30 kids in three high schools to 700 plus kids in three states. Fast forward again, we had to change the name for a third time from the USA High School Clay Target League to the USA Clay Target League because we added several more states and we added college. In 2020, as you know, a pandemic hit across the country, but instead of going in a shell, the league decided to push forward and we added two more disciplines in adding five stand and sporting clays. And we also added the homeschool division and expanded the college division. So as we looked at the league early on, we wanted to participate in the ongoing R3 efforts across the country. So we had to figure out how we were going to move kids from the sixth grade after high school into continuing to shoot. So we added the college league. And again, between all three leagues and all four disciplines across the country, it was 44,900 students. And I think we had 1,300 plus schools involved last year.
Fantastic. I love hearing that so much. So four different disciplines. So you have trap shooting, skeet shooting, sporting clays, and five stand.
Yes, ma'am.
Lots of options.
And you know, from the homeschool side, we were trying to figure out how to get students that aren't normally able to participate in high school sports into doing something. In some states, they can participate with their local high school. In some states, they can't. So to break those barriers, we started the homeschool league, and there are 3.2 million homeschool kids in homeschool high school grade level across the country. So that is that's a fast growing segment of what we do.
So back up just a minute, and you mentioned age group. So did I hear sixth grade through collegiate?
Yes, sir. And sixth grade is a placeholder. They have to be old enough to have their hunter safety certification.
Okay. So like in Kansas, you have to be 11 to have, you can take the class prior to your 11th birthday, but you can't be certified until you turn 11. So
go ahead, Rob. Sorry.
So you've got kids from 11 years old to, I don't know, 26.
Yeah, so the sixth grade through 12th grade compete in either the high school or the homeschool league, and then college age students participate in the college league.
Nice. Okay, so the college level, what does that look like? Division one, division two? Is it, you know, I think about in Kansas, just because I'm familiar, you know, we've got like Fort Hays State University, Kansas State University. You know, then we've got some technical colleges and some junior colleges, community colleges. In all of those, you know, any college can start a chapter, or what's that look like?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So the college league itself is broken up into three categories. One is NJCAA, and we just signed on to be the provider for NJCAA for their national championship in 2024, and to help run their version of the clay target sports. But the other two are to answer your question, you can be a technical college, a junior mm-hmm. college, a division one, two, or three university. We do have all those different segments involved in the college league. So right now, I think in the Minnesota League, I think there are 14 schools just in that region alone. So, and there are several regions across the country. I think there's 52 regions in the NJCAA. So we will be adding multiple colleges to the league over the next couple of years.
I love seeing that you guys expanded into that college area. You know, I think about myself growing up as a hunter and a target shooter. I went to college at one point and right. lived in the dorms, and I couldn't take my firearms with me. You know, I was surrounded with a lot of limitations. And so I just would think that being part of a team like that in any capacity would significantly increase my likelihood to staying active in the outdoors. through that time where, you know, money's sometimes tight, you know, stress with school is a lot, you know, you're trying to find your career path. So I just love that. I know here in Kansas, you guys have put together, or there have been multiple teams come together here in Kansas that are doing really well. And I just love seeing some of our high school kids go to those colleges for that specific reason.
Yeah. So like in Kansas, you know, McPherson College shoots with us, Nick Technical College, Garden City Community College, Northwest Kansas Technical. So, you know, they're, I think Coffeyville is in our league. So yeah, it's, and it's growing state by state. The majority of the schools that have come on board because they've had requests from their students who came out of our high school league, who wanted to continue what they were doing because they found a passion in clay target shooting sports.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. So you started, you said in 2008 in Minnesota. Yes, and so you've grown and not only grown geographically, but grown in the opportunities of the disciplines that you can shoot in, and then actually the number of classifications of kids that can be involved. I'm curious, I think I know a little bit of the answer, but I'm not super familiar, and Brittany I'm sure has a lot more insight into this, but you know, you think about organized youth sports, so whether that's a rec league soccer or t-ball, baseball, all the way up to, you know, high school level, you get playoffs and state championships and all that kind of stuff. So speak a little bit. I'd be curious to hear how that works in the shooting sports with USA Clay Target. That am I right that you're not traveling every week to another school, going to a lot of meets, putting on hours in a bus and that kind of thing? You're kind of almost shooting against yourself. Is that sort of right?
Yeah, I guess it would be important when I answer that, Rob, to give you a little bit of history on that. So when the league started, the initial thought was to survey folks who were already shooting at ranges and say, you know, what do you think young people would like? And about 2 weeks into that, they changed the thought process and went to high school kids and junior high kids and say, what would you want? What would get you excited about shooting? And so hopefully this will answer your question. The number one response wasn't, I want to be a better shooter. It was, I want to safely learn how to use a firearm. Number two was, I want to have fun. Number three was, I want to learn how to shoot better. So the three pillars that the league stands on are safety, fun, and marksmanship, in that order. So when we started the league, because high schools were experiencing low participation rates in other sports. And I say that not to say football, volleyball, basketball, and baseball aren't thriving, but less than 5% of the student population gets involved in those sports. And out of that 5%, 75% never see the field or the court. So when Jim started the league, he decided to develop a program that everybody's scores matter. No students sit on the bench. It's a total Title IX sport. So it does not matter if you're male, female. It doesn't matter how you identify. It doesn't matter if you're in a wheelchair. It doesn't matter what religion you are, what race, what school. It's completely you against you. And your scores matter for the entire team. So we came up with a scoring system that lets everybody get involved. Not only that, but our student athletes are able to be in their yearbooks for their school. And the student athletes also have the ability to letter. So you don't have to be a five-star athlete to letter in this sport. So I say all that to come back to answering your question. And I apologize for being long-winded.
I love that. Go ahead, John.
Absolutely no worries. So our student athletes, and I'll just use the spring season because we have two seasons, Rob. We have spring and fall. In the spring, we start, and the very first week we have is a practice week. So everybody in the country starts at the exact same time, whether the snow is flying in Minnesota or you're sitting in Florida and it's 85 degrees. Everybody starts the same week. And so you have a week of practice, then you have a week of practice, and then you have a reserve week. So by the third week you're shooting, everybody on your team shoots a score that is held in reserve in case one of the other weeks can't be used for weather, et cetera. And by the way, unless it's lightning out, we shoot. High wind, snow, hail, rain, unless there's lightning, we shoot. So when you get into the competition weeks, there's 5 weeks of competition. So the student athletes will shoot 50 rounds a week, and then the coaches record their scores, and they have to be put into the system every single week by Saturday at 6 o'clock. And we've been asked, well, how do you keep folks honest? Well, we found that the folks doing this, we found very little cheating, but it's easy to find because as you enter scores, we have an algorithm that analyzes the scores. And if little Johnny has been shooting 14, 14, 14, 14, now all of a sudden he's shooting 50, then, you know, there's some things we can do with that. But once the scores start getting entered, then by state, student athletes are placed into three categories: novice, JV, or varsity. And you have to be a varsity shooter to letter, and that's a high school requirement. But every state has, within those three categories, we have divisional classification. So like here in Minnesota, we have 9 conferences. So at the state tournament at the state championship in Minnesota, it's a 9-day event because we have one conference shooting every day, and there's roughly 1,000 kids in each conference at that event. So you shoot for 5 weeks, your scores are entered every single week. Your team and your individual's scores will float up and down so that you can see how you compare. And then at the end of the season, we have in most states, we have a state tournament where everybody gets to go to the state tournament and you get to shoot. Your scores are entered in and you go from there. So regardless of how you shoot during the season, you can go to the state tournament and win the whole thing. We don't hold anybody back.
Mm-hmm.
So we also have, from there, we have a national championship. Now that one is an invitational only tournament where the top student athletes from across the country, the top 2,900 student athletes and 240 schools get together in Mason, Michigan, and we let them shoot it out.
I love that about the league too, is that going back to anyone can play, right? Anyone is can participate, women, men, like you said, different ethnicities, religious beliefs, you name it, abilities, doesn't matter. Everyone's towing the same line. And I love that they're individually, athletes are, you know, being held accountable for their own score, right? Like if they want to get better, they've got to put in the work. And it does, you know, like, yes, that's their own score, but ultimately it does affect their team. So it creates this unique opportunity for these kids to recognize, like, okay, if I want to be a good teammate, I got to start working on my own shooting. Like, I got to do better. Like, it does impact my team. And, you know, to see these kids at these state shoots, and I highly encourage you to go watch one of the state shoots in your area. It's incredible. I mean, just imagine gunshot after gunshot after gunshot, these targets being broke for, like John mentioned, like upwards of 9 days in some areas. It's incredible.
Yeah. And, you know, it's really been a labor of love. The coaches have to key the scores in every week. And I'm going to give you just a different perspective. So as a coach, it has been my pleasure. You know, my last year was last year as the head coach, and the group that started with me in the sixth grade, I walked all the way through as their head coach until they graduated. And 7 of the 12 kids in that group went to the national championship. Now, when they started shooting, they were all shooting 5s and 6s. And at the national championship, one of the students actually finished 3rd in the nation. And to your point, Brittany, the student athletes wanted to get better on their own at first, And then when they become that JV level, they want to get better a little bit for their own and then get better for their team. When they get to that varsity level, their confidence, their maturity is beyond what most kids their age is. And we've seen that over and over and over and over again. So it's been exciting for me from several aspects, but the league fosters that. You know, we have training programs for coaches. We have training programs for athletes. But again, it all focuses on being safe and then having fun. And what we found is if you focus on those two things exclusively, the marksmanship always comes.
So, John, I'm curious, before we hit record, you know, we were talking, just kind of catching up and getting to know each other. And you started to share some statistics, some interesting data about the league and about the process. And Brittany was mentioning some things that I hadn't thought about. But let's start with one of your pillars, and you're talking about learning to shoot safely. And yes. So I think a lot of our listeners, if you've not been exposed to this scenario of putting, you know, shotgun. So, I mean, if you think about like a 20 gauge shotgun is more powerful than a 44 Magnum revolver, right? Dirty Harry and the big scary gun, right? So if we're taking 12 and 20 gauge and 28 gauge 16s, whatever, you're taking a high powered firearm and putting it in the hands of students. And I think Brittany just mentioned something about 9 days straight of shooting in order to complete a tournament at that level. Let's talk about safety and statistically, what does that look like? And then maybe let's jump into some of those other interesting data points that you've got.
Yeah. So I'll start with this. We had, I said 1300 earlier. I apologize, Rob. It was 1503 schools participated with us last year, whether it was high school or college. 8,950 plus volunteer coaches and range safety officers. Just at events, and this is just at events, not practices, there's 18,600,000 clays thrown in 2022 for our students.
Incredible.
And by the way, to answer your question, Rob, there were zero accidents or incidents, zero. And by the way, we've had zero, knock on wood, since 2008. And that comes because of our focus on safety first and marksmanship last.
That's remarkable.
And it has been fun. And I will tell you, you go to the Minnesota Trap Shooting Championship, to Brittany's point, there this year we'll have 8,100 kids shooting over 9 days. And to see the discipline that these young people have, you will see none of those young people spraying the crowd, if you will, mm-hmm. They are all cognizant of muzzle control. Every single one of them. And they police each other because they understand, right? You won't see any shotgun without its action open. You won't see kids horse playing at any event. So again, the safety is absolutely there. I'll digress to the team that I used to be the head coach for. Our range safety officer, our chief safety officer, she started out not wanting to help out anything with the team, even though her boys were on the team, because she didn't know anything about coaching. She doesn't shoot. So we got her started being a range safety officer. We told her that, hey, all you have to know how to do is keep people safe. Mm-hmm. She ended up becoming our chief safety officer. And what we're finding is that more and more parents, male or female, that don't understand shooting or don't understand coaching are more than willing to volunteer and get involved from a safety aspect. And so that isn't just with the Lakeville team. You see it across the board. What you'll see during weekly competitions is you'll have a coach on the field, a range safety officer, and a scorekeeper for each five kids shooting. So there's adult supervision everywhere.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic to watch. And that combination of all that supervision, everybody focused on safety, and the student athletes learning at an early age that safety is the number one concern has really, really catapulted the league forward.
That's fantastic. So You mentioned 1,500 plus shooters, over 8 million targets thrown. So number one, the fact that zero safety incidents, I mean, that is phenomenal and fantastic, right? But, you know, one of the things that Brittany mentioned before we started recording was PR dollars. So 8 million targets thrown, that's got to be, you know, probably close to 8 million shots fired, right?
Very, very close. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk about that a little bit. I mean, your organization, I mean, all those 1500 kids, they got to have a shotgun, right? I mean, they're, I'm no doubt there's probably a couple brothers sharing a gun or a couple sisters sharing a gun, or I'm using grandpa's gun or dad's gun, but I would think the majority of those kids are either going to upgrade or they've not been involved and they're buying a new gun. And then just the ammunition sales, that's fantastic.
Yeah. So it's, those are great questions. And what I'll tell you is that, one, there's very few student athletes that share guns, because whether it's a brother and a sister, et cetera, everybody's a different body type. And so typically shotguns are not shared. And we see that quite a bit. I will tell you that in 2022, our student athletes were responsible for $29.9 million worth of shotguns sold in the U.S. And our student, the families in this league typically purchase one, and it's a percentage number because it vacillates, but it's on average 1.13 shotguns a year are sold. Over the league, by the end of 2025, we will have thrown 657 million clays. Our league this year, or I say this year, in 2020, the teams and student athletes went through $16.8 million worth of ammunition in a time frame that ammunition was hard to get. So yes, we do. Our financial impact of the league through the year 2025 will be at $1 billion.
And I guess just for our listeners, most of our listeners probably understand, but you know, through the Pittman-Robertson Act, that Congress passed, I'd have to go back and look, but it's been decades ago. Mm-hmm. Any ammunition firearm sales have an excise tax ahead of the retail store. And that contributes to federal dollars that states can then draw down. There's a matching process and whatnot, but can use to support everything from baseball diamonds and shooting ranges to wildlife areas and wetland areas and walking trails. And I mean, just all kinds of stuff. So that impact that you guys, you know, not only are you equipping young men and ladies with confidence and character building a skill in shooting, and you know that in itself is amazing, but then the kind of this after effect that you're contributing to PR, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, so you know it's funny that you say that, because the average amount of money raised for PR is about 300% higher with a clay target league student than it is with the average hunter, simply because the amount of ammunition that they go through. Mm-hmm. Looking at 2022, it's the league contributed to PR, and of course this is an estimate based on the amount of ammunition, et cetera, about $4.5 million to the PR fund came from our student athletes participating in both the regular season and events.
Wow. That's just incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, it's, we have a 99% retention rate with teams. We got a 95% retention rate with the student athletes. And that's only because kids graduate every year, or it would be higher. You know, we do what we're really excited about. And this goes to a lot of conversations that Brittany and I have had on a different level, is by the time our student athletes are done shooting with us, 78% of them are hunting. Mm-hmm. 75% of them are fishing. and 56% of them are doing other outdoor activities. And that comes from a pool, Rob, of 60% of the student athletes that come on board with us have never shot before.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And if you, Go ahead, Brittany. Well, I was just going to say, talk about taking like the lowest hanging fruit and truly walking them through like the best hunting heritage they could ever have.
Yeah. And we don't teach hunting skills. Just to be absolutely clear, we're not associated with any hunting organization, et cetera. But what our coaches do and what these student athletes do is they start to connect the dots through organizations like Pass It On Outdoors, like PF, like National Wild Turkey, and say, wait a minute, what I'm learning how to do, these skill sets, I can have the rest of my life. And not only are they applicable to shooting sports, but they're applicable to hunting if I choose to go. And so it has been really amazing to see the connectivity between the student athletes and other student athletes whose parents do hunt and who do fish. And there's been this natural migration, if you will, between students whose parents, A, never owned a firearm, B, didn't hunt or fish or do anything in the outdoors. They joined the league. And then now we're seeing parents begin to shoot. We're seeing grandparents getting re-involved, and we're seeing student athletes pairing up with other student athletes and families as they learn how to enjoy their new skill set in other formats, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it would be interesting. I'd like to see, and it's probably not apples to apples, but if you took one of the best or the average R3 program from a state wildlife agency and compared their success rate to yours, if we said, okay, I mean, those percentages that you just shared, you know, 60%+ of these participants are going to go on to be hunters or anglers or whatever. And then you take that same, okay, this state, whatever, has an R3 program and they have these outreach programs. Do they even get close to 60% of the people that participate come to a weekend event or whatever? You know, I understand you're taking kids potentially clear from sixth grade into college if they stick with the program that long, but that success rate there has to be like off the charts in comparison to other programs.
You know, I guess I don't have anything to compare it to, Rob, but I will tell you that we have some really good partnerships right now. We have a great partnership with the North Dakota Game and Fish, and we're actually working on a process right now to help connect the dots between licensure and the student athletes that are in our league, and is there any connectivity, right? And what we've found in the first 3 years is that there is a very, very high rate of student athletes who participate in the league who end up buying licenses. And I say license, it isn't just hunting, right? It's either big game, small game, waterfowl, fishing, you know, an ATV license, etc. And so, you know, that program with North Dakota Game and Fish has been really, really successful. And not only that, but the North Dakota Game and Fish, they support the league in that any new team that joins the league in North Dakota can apply for a grant that North Dakota Game and Fish gives them to help start their team. So
that's a perfect segue. I'm looking at our show notes here, and the next bullet point is how can folks start a team? So,
absolutely.
Whether you're a youth listening to this and you want to go to your school, or maybe you're a parent or an educator or whatever, what's that look like? You're on a rec district organization through a school or a community. What does that look like?
Yeah. So it's actually exceedingly easy to request the information. You just go to usaclaytarget.com and decide if you want to look at homeschool, high school, or college. Once you click on one of those three, then you click on the state you're looking for. And right at the top, in the ring cursor on the top, it says start a team. When you click on that, we give you every piece of data that we've been asked since 2008 on how to start a team, how to talk to a school board, how to get a coach, how to talk to, arrange, etc. Everything that we know how to do is right there. And there's a contact us. And so as soon as you are ready, you can contact our high school director of operations. His name is Josh Crails. And Josh does a phenomenal job working with, parents to get teams started. If you're wanting a college team, you use the same contact me, and Jason Kelvey is our college director of operations. And you get an answer back within 24 hours and we get the process rolling. Rob, we had 1,700 requests in 2022 to start a team.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
now,
awesome.
We did start 260 new teams last year. And your next question is probably, why didn't we start 1,700? It isn't from our end. Most of those folks had to go before the school board, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And that's a much longer process than just asking to shoot.
Okay. Now, we'll be sure and link the page that you're talking about in the show notes. So if anybody wants to go find that, it'll be there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. I will say I have been part of many different schools starting a team, many of them being successful, some of them, you know, facing those barriers of not being able to get school board approval. But like John said, there are lots of ways to deliver that message to the school board, you know, how to successfully organize your team so that yes is a little easier from the school board. So definitely do your research and ask the questions. You know, I'll be the first one to say John's a wealth of information, as you all can tell. So he's an expert in this field. So there's definitely ways to figure out how to get that team started. Also, I will say, if you are having a hard time getting a team started, try to seek joining a team nearby. I have seen many kids get approval from their athletic director to shoot on their neighboring, town, city, wherever your, you know, situation looks like geographically, you can shoot on another team with that approval too.
Yeah. And, you know, you all are both in Kansas, and estimated this year, we should have right at 3,300 high school students on 109 different teams out of the state of Kansas. Your home state is our fastest growing state currently.
Yes. What's your guys's view for 2025?
By 2025, our goal, and we're even with COVID, we're still on track to hit it. Our goal is to have 100,000 student athletes shooting with us by the end of 2025 annually, not just in 2025, but maintain that number plus.
Yeah, I start thinking about that, and you know, you could say, okay, the football team, the volleyball team, the baseball team have, you know, depending on your roster, you know, I'm in a small town, we play 8-man football. If there's 16 to 20 kids on the bench, you know, that's a pretty good sized team in our area on a football team. But to your point, maybe 12 of those kids are going to see field time, whether that's special teams, you know, right. A-team, first string, second string kind of thing. But when you talk about that number of kids, they're all competing, right?
Yeah.
Not only are they practicing, but they're all competing. It's not like, well, when I'm a junior, I'll see some playing time. When I'm a senior, maybe I'll get to see some playing time. No. As soon as you pick up that shotgun, you're in the hunt, right?
Yeah, we had 2 eighth graders last year shooting in the national championship.
Wow, that's cool.
And they're really good. So, yeah. No, you're right, Rob. And it's a pleasure to see so many young people having the opportunity to let their high school sports be a positive part of their high school experience.
Cool. Well, John, if you're ready, I've got some lightning round questions I want to throw at you. They're pretty lighthearted, easy, this or that, yes or no. And so we have some folks that feel like they need to take a while and explain every question. Some folks just get through it real quick. We're good with either way. So if you're ready, I'll spout out question number one here.
Let her fly.
Okay. So number one, what's your favorite sub gauge?
12.
With confidence.
Okay. Number two, if you're shooting like a fun, like games, sporting clays or trap games, do you prefer a shell race or knockout?
Knockout.
Okay. Number three, how about you got to choose between an over and under or a side-by-side shotgun?
Over under.
Okay. Number four, what's one thing that you wish that young shooters, new shooters, they have to be young, new shooters, or what's one thing that they should know? Like if you're going to communicate just one thing outside of all the other training that they're going to have, what would that one thing be?
To understand that shooting a shotgun or any firearm is totally different than what you see on TV or in video games, that there's a finality to every shot taken.
Okay. That's good.
That's a good word. Yeah.
Okay. Number five. Do you prefer shooting white rock at night under the lights or just orange clays during the day?
Orange clays during the day. Okay. And that's because I'm old, Rob.
Okay. Number six. Do you have a favorite type of hearing protection?
I use walkers almost exclusively because that's what I've always used. So it would, you know,
not walkers, are you using like the in-ears or like the gun muff type, electronic or not?
Over ear when I'm shooting anything but shotgun, inner ear when I'm shooting shotgun, because I don't like it to mess with the comb.
The gun mount. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Number seven, you get to shoot. It's a perfect Saturday afternoon for going to the range. And you have to choose, you're going to shoot trap or sporting clays. Which one are you going to do?
Sporting clays all day long.
Nice. Okay. And number eight, what's your favorite shotgun? If you're going to pick up a gun and go hunt or go to the range, maybe that's two different guns, the hunting and the range, but what's your favorite shotgun?
Yeah. So I have a Benelli Super Sport that we had modified for one of my three boys who he used it to win the state tournament. And then when he went off to be an adult and get married, it accidentally stayed at my house. So now that's the one I use.
Accidentally stayed there. I like that. Yeah. Good play. Well, you can't go wrong with the Benelli. I love that.
No.
Well, John, you handled those questions with the most confidence any of our guests have. I love it.
Well, when it's something you do a lot of and you love to do, it's pretty easy. Yep.
Well, and you can certainly tell you do that, you know, every day in your job too. So thank you for taking time to share about the USA Clay Target League. I know I get really excited and motivated about the future hearing those numbers, because I just think you're planting seeds for the future generations to make a bigger impact in the world of conservation and shooting sports and just be good humans. So I'm thrilled about that. How can people find you all? Is it easiest to go to your website? Do you guys have a social media handle?
It's easiest to go to the website and use the contact us feature. We have a complete team that can help with anything that individuals, coaches, schools, anything that they need, we can help them with.
Awesome. I love it. Well, we will be sure to link that website URL in the post. But John, thanks so much for hanging out with us. Thanks for sharing your mission and your vision and your passion. We love it.
Well, I appreciate you asking. And Rob, it was very nice meeting you. And Brittany, as always, it's been a pleasure.
Thanks. We will see you all next time on another episode of the Great Plains Outdoors.
Thanks, guys. See you later.
We'll see you.